Hi, hi, hi. This is Rosanna Hicken, and welcome to Salty Housewife, a podcast where a Utah mom breaks down everything we're seeing on the Real Houses of Salt Lake. And today we're going to dip into Beverly Hills for just a very brief second at the very end. But we're going to let you know what's really going on in the state of Utah. We are on episode 8 of season 4 of Real Housewives of Salt Lake. And today my guest is my sister, Olivia Pesci. She's in New York City, and we are ready to cover the episode called Moms, Missions, and Matrimony. Olivia, thank you for coming back on.
You're so welcome. Thanks for providing me a professional microphone.
We did. After we recorded last time, my dad was like, okay, so I'll be sending her a microphone immediately to her apartment in New York so that she sounds better. So I hope it sounds better for everybody.
Yeah, we'll let the jury vote on that. Yeah. But now I feel like I'm going to have to start my own podcast. You know, I have half the equipment already. So
I mean, your episode is the second most listened to.
Am I shocked? Not really.
I would just like to tell everybody that most of my friends love me because of my sister. Like, they appreciate her opinions and her takes on everything. They're like, whoa, what does Olivia think? And I'm like, what? You're my friend. They're like, yeah, but what does Olivia think? I'm like, my friends text her separately without me included.
That's actually quite true. It's because I'm a lot more outspoken and I'm not quite as worried about not hurting feelings.
That's because you're not going to run into anybody here in Utah. It's just me.
Absolutely correct.
You'll just run into the new Roni ladies, some Jenna Lyons on the street. Oh.
There's just no way I would ever run into them.
Because they're on the Upper East Side?
Yeah. Or I don't know where they live, but I'm not going the same place as they're going.
Size in Brooklyn.
We're not in the same tax bracket.
But I do want you to go to that one restaurant that none of them wanted to go to at the beginning of the season.
Oh, what was it?
I don't remember what it was. I found it online, but
I have to look it up. Yeah. Catch.
Oh, yes. Where they said it was like cool in 2009, but not anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'll look it up.
Well, we are excited to have you back on the pod. And by we, I mean me. And this is such a good episode. I'm so glad you're here for this one because we don't just have one, but we have two incredibly awkward dinners to talk about on this episode.
Yeah. One, we have three, honestly. Three? Angie's dad, that was so awkward to me.
Angie's dad?
She and her dad, that dinner I felt like was really awkward.
Well, it was just like
my opinion.
It was just like filler for the show. And it just was
exactly. I hate that. If I hadn't had to recap it, I would have fast forwarded it. I just don't care.
There wasn't a lot going on. It's fine.
No.
Okay, let's start from the very beginning. We are starting at Whitney's house. Whitney and Justin are there together. And we just like go right in. And Whitney says that she's ready to clear the air with Mary and have a sit down dinner, which is when we'll get to our most uncomfortable dinner. Well, which one did you think was more uncomfortable? This one, Mary, or Monica and her mom?
No, Monica and her mother's was not uncomfortable. It was maybe the best piece of comedy I've ever seen. So I loved every second of it. And there's moments where I think if I could be transported to a moment in time, to be the person in the background eating my Mexican food while that was happening around me would be the best night of my life.
Well, and also, okay, we'll get there. Okay, I'm going ahead of myself. We'll get there. Whitney says she's going to have this conversation with Mary, and this is what she says, quote, "In my meditation, in my therapy with my energy healer," she says it keeps coming.
No, I'm sorry. She said her energy healer.
Healer, not healer.
Her energy healer.
It is such a Utah accent thing to replace your E's with I's. So
yes, I had to explain this to a coworker who was going to Utah sidebar.
Oh, you did?
And I said, don't get confused. You're going to have someone say, come on in, there's a still of Adele. She's got big self. They're talking in another language. And then the same day, Rachel Parcell posted something on her story about the Utah accent. She's like, oh my gosh, it's real. Like, so real.
Yeah, she has it.
Rachel Parcell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. She's a Utah girly.
Not to put you on blast, but I think in your time in Utah, you've maybe picked up on something as well.
I can't get made fun of for everything that I say because I already get made fun of for how I say my O's because I'm from Ohio.
Ohio. Sorry, but...
And I do not say feeling. So instead of feelings.
No, you don't. But you got some little things in there. Anyway, moving on.
Her healer. She spoke to her energy healer and she says that it keeps coming up. So she wants to have this sit down with Mary. And Justin's like, okay, do whatever you want. And then they start talking about Bobby's birthday. Bobby, her 13-year-old daughter. And Whitney says that she wants to invite Meredith to Bobby's birthday. And I'm just thinking to myself, why are we inviting these women to a 13-year-old's birthday party? Why?
Bobby doesn't even know them.
Bobby doesn't know them, nor does she care.
She does not care. But, I mean, we're getting ahead of it, but that was such a cute little birthday.
It was cute.
And I thought it was fun. Yes, we'll but it was really weird that Meredith was there in a bikini top.
Yes, the skimpiest.
Anyway, that's
next episode. The skimpiest top I've ever seen. I wrote it down in my notes. What is Meredith wearing under that jacket? It was boobies out. My goodness.
So she wants Meredith at the party.
Maybe she wants a good gift, and also maybe just because they've got to have more content for this show. Okay, and then we have Whitney and Justin who start fighting about Justin being gone on Bobby's birthday, and. I want their uncomfortable marriage dynamic to be done. I don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, I don't really know what's going on with them. It's really odd. But the hardest part for me is right now is his veneers. I don't know. I don't know how she sat there and looked at that and wasn't like, what is happening? What's happening inside your mouth? But it was a very uncomfortable conversation that we didn't need to be witnesses of. Like, you don't know each other's schedules. You don't know. Your guys are clearly not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she wants that to be a storyline, but I just think it was uncomfortable and unnecessary.
Yeah, and she asked him at the end if he had made a therapy appointment yet. And the way that he just stares at her is like, and then he hops on his phone to make their therapy appointment for the two of them. It's so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. So then now we are off to Heather and she shows up to Wasatch Excursions to check in for snowmobiling with Monica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tits out.
What'd you say?
I said tits out.
That's what I thought you said.
That was the bit they wouldn't stop getting.
I literally wrote that. I said, takes pictures when they're done. Cleavage galore.
Uh-huh. Heather's literally pulling her shirt down to have her cleavage.
And it is so cold up there. You were gone last winter. So, you had already escaped to New York. It never stopped snowing. It was so cold. The idea of having
it was actually miserable watching this episode.
Yes. Oh, yes. Miserable. And they're snowmobiling. Mm-hmm. And then, when they are done, and it looks beautiful, and it looks like a beautiful sunny day, actually. Yeah. But then when they're done, both of them unzipping those jackets.
And that poor man had to take that photo. Honestly, I've never been snowmobiling, but that was maybe the most lame excursion I've ever seen. They're just following each other up a hill and back down.
Was that lamer, though, than later on in the episode when they're cross-country
skiing? No, I think, and then having a tailgate.
Yeah, okay, yes.
A tailgate around the Range Rovers.
We're going to get there. It looked like it was maybe 20 minutes long, which, they've got a timeline. They're paying these people. They got
to
keep going.
The point is for them to talk.
Yes.
Anyway,
So they finish snowmobiling, and they go and sit in the lounge, and they're just talking about what had happened. It sounded like it was literally the day before at Easter. And they kind of start talking about their moms, and Heather said that her mom had like 6 kids, I think, 3 boys, 3 girls, and she was the ultimate homemaker, but then they grew apart during her divorce, which made me very sad.
Yeah.
Because I know her relationship with her dad was already kind of tough, so it's like I wish she had a little bit more support during that.
Yeah. I think she must come from a very... hard family. There's a lot of shunning, but it happened on Whitney's side too.
Yeah.
Where I feel like Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like really invested LDS families that can't see, like Whitney. I mean, there was infidelity, mothers getting divorced, and so they shun their kids.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's very strange.
Yeah, very.
And it's hard to like relate when your family dynamic is so different because you're like, wait, my parents would never. But I'm sure it was a huge impact in their life for sure, especially if she said she and her mom were really close and then that happened. It sucks.
Very sad.
We're talking about moms again. And Monica says that when she was 12, her mom dropped her off with a family in Pennsylvania while she went off to New York to chase her dreams. And this wasn't family. Yeah. This was like friends.
Right.
It's so weird. And
it's very weird. I have a complex opinions about Monica and her mother.
Oh, yeah.
Because so I went to Danny Pellegrino's live show in New York last month.
Yeah.
And he did the Easter episode. He did like a live recap of it.
Okay.
And he asked the audience, he said, like, on his mom's side, I'm not kidding, I was the only person who got out. Because everybody took Monica's side at the Easter fight.
I think.
But I was siding with the mom.
Like Lisa.
And now, you know, some opinions have changed.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I think that they are both insane.
Oh, absolutely. It's such a dysfunctional relationship, the two of them. And there's really no right side or wrong side because they're both very much in the wrong. But also we learn later like about what their grandmother was like. So it's like, how could you even stop this if you wanted to without, you would need to be in years of therapy. Years.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And Monica says she and Heather have a lot in common. And I'm like, I don't know if that's the same, but they're finding
Monica's
ways
reaching
to
get it. Because Monica doesn't really fit in at all.
And she's very lucky at this moment because she's got Heather as an ally, but we know that that's going to change. And I cannot freaking wait. Cannot wait. Okay. We now head to Lisa's house. And I thought this was actually very sweet. This is...
Yes, it's cute.
They're at Lisa's house, and John brings out his mission stuff to show Jack. And John went on his mission to Vegas, which is where our brother went on a mission. What's up, Las Vegas? Back in the 90s, cute picture of John in his missionary stuff.
Full head of hair.
Full head of hair. With his bicycle. And John says that Jack told him 2 weeks before Lisa that he was going to be going on a mission.
Yeah, that's dark.
Some knives.
Poor Lisa.
I know. But, like, maybe did he try to tell her and she was on her phone?
Could be.
Well, she didn't know. And John reads his spiritual experience to Jack, and I'm sure that was very sweet for them to have that bonding moment. And John explains how Lisa and John met each other. So Lisa's older sister was a missionary in Vegas at the same time as John. And then after their missions, she brought Lisa to hang out with one of John's roommates, and then that's where they met. And he was smitten by the Sundance Queen right there.
Apparently, she got him.
Apparently,
I couldn't stop laughing at her trying to be included by making the comment about her roommate
when she says,
"Because
yeah,
for people who don't know or like aren't." Part of the culture, when you go on a mission, you're like given a companion. You're never allowed to be alone.
Well, you went on a mission. Do you want to give like a little backstory? Yeah.
Oh, I sure did. I'd love to. I went in 2015. So I a little bit more glamorous of a call than Jack, honestly, than Columbia. I went to Bakersfield, California. Really was good for me. I was so happy to be there. Best time of my life. It's really a fun experience when everybody's around you in the room. Everyone's so excited. You open it up and you read it, and that's what you get. And it's just no way to hide that no one's excited anymore. No one thinks it's cool. No, nobody's.
I was
excited
still excited
anyway,
for you.
Well, that's nice. Anyway, so. you are assigned a person of the same gender to be your companion. You have to be with them within sight and sound, except if like you're in a bathroom. Mm-hmm. Can't be alone for a year and a half. It's really awesome for my mental health. Anyway, so
you had some rough companions.
Some of the greatest trials of my life happened in an 18-month period. Some of the best experiences of how to get along with others. Anyway, so you're given a person and you have to be, you know, with them 24/7 and for 6 weeks, and then potentially longer than 6 weeks, but at least 6 weeks. And so Lisa is trying to make some kind of comparison that she had a crazy roommate in college who was obsessed with her, which is my favorite part of the story. Was,
yep.
The whole point of the story was that roommate was just obsessed with Lisa.
She said she wore all her clothes and sat on her bed to to see what
really
it was like to be Lisa
given,
for the day.
Uh-huh. Some real weirdos, which, you know, I'm sure Jack will experience. He'll probably make some really good friends and he will learn a lot of things about different people in the world.
Yeah. And we've talked about it on the last podcast about like visa issues, which is why Jack's in California right now. And actually we just had a guy at church today. He was giving a talk and he and his wife met on their mission because he was waiting for his visa to go to Brazil. And so he was sent to like South Salt Lake. That's where she was.
Yeah.
So they were just like friends for a little bit and then he left to go to Brazil. But he's like, you would have thought I was maybe going to wait for a few weeks to get my visa for Brazil. He's like, no, I was in South Salt Lake for 14 months. And then,
some people never actually make it there.
So, like,
there's a girl that was in Tennessee waiting and she never got to go because if it's been 14 months and you're only going for 18, at that point, like, you don't get to go.
Right.
Which that does stink for them because, I mean, you have to be in Tennessee instead of Brazil and to have learned a whole language that you never get to use.
Yeah. It'd be hard.
Yeah.
It'd be hard.
But anyway, Lisa had to make it about her.
Yes, she did. Well, Lisa's also trying to plan Jack's mission reveal, and she says, what do you want there? And to quote Jack, he said, liquid death and charcuterie, which...
Yep, canned water and charcuterie.
Canned sparkling water and charcuterie. I said, this is the most Utah thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
She's so funny.
Yep, it was so good. It was very sweet. John starts talking about Jack and how proud he is, and he starts crying. And I was like, "What a sweetheart!"
Yeah, it's very cute.
It's such a cute dad. And then Lisa. Okay, we're switching now. Everyone comes to cross country skiing, but by everyone I mean it's Monica, Whitney, Heather, and
Meredith.
Yes. And they go cross-country skiing. Have you ever seen anything more uncoordinated in your life?
No. And anything that looked maybe more boring? No.
Well, and they all know how to ski. So I'm like, what? What? And also they're cross-country skiing up this like bunny hill. And I feel like people do cross-country skiing like in the mountains, in the forest. This was like a practice bunny hill for children that maybe took 15 minutes total.
But I do feel like most activities on these shows are just a way for them to like talk. And so it's easier to talk doing this than skiing.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, they're going to go sit in the parking lot, have a tailgate.
Yes. Then we pull out.
With Costco. No, not Costco. With
Cheesecake Factory
bread.
Cheesecake.
Whatever drink they clearly were advertising because they didn't block it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tailgating in the parking lot with their fold-up chairs and some brown Cheesecake Factory bread. I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah, this is not Beverly Hills.
No. At least could we get like a cute basket? Something to put
anything.
It in? Anything. Could we have picked up Cafe Rio salads? That would have been better than this.
Would have been better.
Honestly. So Whitney calls out. She's a little shady, as always. Says, oh, Monica, did you get a new car? Like, I see you're driving a Range Rover. And Monica says her Range Rover is a rental because when she buys a car, she puts it in her mom's name. What?
Yikes.
And then her mom takes her car when she's mad at her. So her mom took her car after Angie's Easter party.
Honestly, I'm not gonna hide how I feel about that. It's really iconic.
Why would you buy a car in your mom's name?
And you know what? And to think that she can't take it away from you, like, it's wrong of her. But like, yeah, you're gonna scream at her and abandon her at an Easter party
She's going to use whatever power she has, and she's going to take that car.
You're a 40-year-old child, which is what you are at that point.
Yes, and also, but the way that it disrupts all of the children's life is the saddest part.
No, that's the part that's not okay, but that woman clearly does not care.
No, she doesn't care.
The grandchildren.
Her mom said, I want the car by 4 p.m. or I'll call the police and say it's stolen. And I'm like, wow. It's insane. Whitney, let's talk about mom dynamics again. We got a lot of mom dynamics this episode. Whitney says she didn't talk to her mom for 13 years when she left the church. And I'm just like, in my head, I'm just wondering how this happened.
That's the whole span of Bobby's life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because Bobby's turned 13. So it clearly was when Whitney had an affair with a married man who was not her husband and became pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure her mother did not approve of that. And
but also we know that what kind of interesting dynamics they have with, remember her dad? Beginning of season one?
Not married.
What?
Her mom and dad aren't together anymore, are they?
No, I know, but I'm just saying I think there were a lot of things going on in their family growing up that probably were a little woo.
Yeah, maybe.
Very, very interesting. I hope she talks to her mom now. I think that's really sad.
Her mom came to the birthday party.
Oh, she did? I missed that.
Yeah. Oh. She talks about it in you'll see, next episode.
Okay, next episode.
Yeah.
Okay, Whitney invites everyone to Bobby's birthday, the birthday that we're talking about. Why the fuh would Bobby want any of these people there? I don't know, but it's part of the show. And Whitney tells Meredith that Angie's going to be there, and she feels uncomfortable that Meredith is trying to take Angie down. And Meredith responds back with this: how could you not see my car crash for 48 hours and see if I was okay?
She is really so good at that, though. That is literally, there are children who will never be okay.
Deflecting.
This is exactly what she does. Yes, every single time.
Yep. It was every 3 weeks before.
Yeah. Also, it has nothing to do with it, and I think that Meredith would have never actually said anything, but what was it, Whitney and Monica that made this happen? Mm-hmm. I actually don't feel like Meredith actually had any intention of doing anything to Angie.
Well, it was just what happened in Palm Springs when she's like, do you want to talk about the rumors? I think that's where it all started.
Right.
Yeah, which she probably didn't mean.
The rumors.
Yeah, she probably didn't mean for it to be as big as it did, but girl, don't say it. Don't say it. And Meredith, says she saw her life flash before her eyes before she almost went off the cliff.
I mean, but we'll give her credit, because if you can't see past the snowbank and you're driving in the mountains, you have no idea where you are.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're going off an edge.
Yeah.
And she going off an edge? No. But did she know that? I guess not.
She didn't know it. She didn't know it. And luckily her driver fixed it and she was safe. So that ends that conversation.
He reversed. And they were safe.
But Whitney apparently saw it on her drive back down, and Meredith couldn't believe that she saw it. And Whitney's like, I didn't know it was you.
And it was a black car. How would she know it was her?
That's fair. It doesn't have a light on top. It screams Meredith's car. It's very true. How would Whitney even know? Oy vey. Yeah, so we're done with them, and we get to Angie's dad, which you didn't appreciate.
Then the husband came in. Those vibes were weird too.
Yes, they were weird.
He was like, you guys take care.
Yeah, he didn't want to be there. He was at the salon. He showed up.
No, not at all.
Didn't want to be there. And maybe it's because the dad says, be firm and show Sean who the boss is. Maybe that's why Sean's
maybe he was hiding behind the corner and heard it. Didn't want to be around them.
That's when Angie tells us that she and Sean haven't been on a date for 1.5 to 2 years.
Right.
And that is a problem.
Yeah.
You have one kid that can watch herself at home.
They needed to have a second kid. That was their first mistake.
Maybe
only children.
Let her know.
Over Angie. Time to have another child.
I think she's almost 50 years old.
I think it's, well.
Huh. So I don't know. Miracles happen.
They do. I don't think they're going to, but I think they needed to.
No, they're not. Yes, and I agree. And that's probably hard, but, teach their own on their marriages and their their lives. Okay, so yeah. Then we get to another snowstorm. Shocker, so much snow. I really would love Salt Lake to film at a different time of the year because...
PTSD.
Yeah, like give us something
it's
else.
Coming.
Yes, PTSD. And yep. Also like give us some warm activities besides all the snow stuff. And this is when we get our lunch, maybe dinner, not sure, unclear, at Provisions with Whitney and Mary, which Provisions is delicious. But this is the second time.
I've never been.
Oh, it's yummy. This is the second time they filmed at Provisions because they filmed last year at Provisions with Angie and Meredith. Angie Harrington and Meredith.
Oh, when the husband said he made the Instagram account?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Wait, where is this restaurant?
It's up in Salt Lake. It's good. It's like this little tiny place and it's like upscale American. It's yummy. It's good. I don't know where Mary lives, so I don't know how long of a drive that was for
her. She's in Salt Lake.
She's somewhere with her blue carpet.
She's not near her church. Her church.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I've driven by her church.
Oh, you have?
I have. It's surrounded by barbed wire fencing. And there's never a car to be found there. There's never a soul around.
Okay.
It's in a definitely a sketchy neighborhood.
We need to go. We were talking about this with the girls. We need to go by and see if it's still there because if it's not, then.
It's still there.
But is it open? Is it running? Because I know it's closed for a second.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I will update. I will update once I drive by. Whitney says, I mean, they put them in the middle of a packed restaurant. Every table is full. And I'm like, this cannot be good for like sound this, but it is great for drama. Like, please. These people are probably just like listening with their ears open, trying to hear what they're saying, which of course they could hear because
100%.
And Whitney says, quote, "We missed you at Greek Easter." And Mary says, "I didn't miss it."
Yep.
She's like, "I didn't care. I didn't want to be there. I told her I had a flood in my house last year and that's why I wasn't there." Oh.
Yeah.
My gosh.
She didn't want to be there.
Nope. And then
I actually would have loved to have seen how she reacted to Monica and her mother.
Oh, for sure. But she kind of likes Monica, so she probably would have enjoyed it. Like she probably would have been on Monica's side.
I don't think so. I think she's very old school, traditional. I think she would have found that very disrespectful.
It's probably
been mad at Monica.
But what's more disrespectful, the way that Monica spoke to her mom or the server spilling her food on Mary and making...
Oh my gosh, that was so sad.
That poor server.
That person is probably still not okay.
No, and the way that she acted, like there's no just like, oh, it's okay.
You did not spill food on me.
Yes, mistakes were made. It's fine. She just acts like, I mean... she set her entire outfit on fire. It's absolutely ridiculous. She's such a ridiculous human. I can't even handle it. I can't handle it.
Yep.
And Mary tells Whitney, "Go ahead, shoot your shot." And she says that Whitney severed their friendship. And Whitney says Mary needs to own it. And Mary doesn't like that at all. She does not like being told that she needs to own it. And then Mary says, "Grow up, little girl. I'm not doing this with you." And then Mary brings up that Whitney called her a predator again.
Yeah.
Which she's really hanging on to that one. She has nothing else in her what's it called? Arsenal? Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she has
But she didn't call Mary a predator.
She called her husband.
Right.
Who married his step-granddaughter. Yes.
Mary hates that man.
I know. So Mary's like, "Okay, I'm not doing this. I'm going to leave, but I am going to take my food." And
of course,
it's delicious food. And Whitney says, "You won't even have a conversation with me." And Mary says, "That's what you don't get. Wake up, bobblehead." Just so mean. She's so mean. Why is she here? And she goes, like, she's in the season enough that they invited her to the reunion. Did you see that?
Is she like in a bonus chair?
She's like on the last row on the right hand side at the
reunion. She'll probably get pulled in for like one segment.
That's probably true. He's probably just going to be like, "Mary, why'd you even sign up to come back on this show when you clearly hated being everything?"
I don't think she won't be back. Is she going to Bermuda?
I don't know. I don't remember seeing her in any of the...
I don't think she is.
We heard from our friend that nobody knows like who the full-time cast members are in the beginning. So that's why they have kind of like people, and they were planning on bringing Mary back full-time, but then it was clear that she didn't want to be there. So she kind of gets phased out for the second half is what we heard.
Right.
So yeah, Mary. Well, yeah. Mary says, watch me walk out the door. And she does. Whitney's left to eat
alone. And there she goes.
There she goes. Bye.
Yep.
Bye, Mary.
Honestly, a better dinner for Whitney, I'm sure, without
Mary being alone. Yeah. Okay, we get a quick spot at Jack's party. There is a charcuterie.
Yep.
There is liquid death. Lucky kid. And a shiz ton of teenagers doing mission call guesses. There's like 100 kids in there. There's so many in there in the house.
Yeah, I think he's pretty popular.
Yeah, and they're all writing down where they think he's going to go, which is like a thing that kids do here. Try to guess where you're going to get your mission call to.
Yeah.
And cute Jack gets up on like a chair and he reads his mission call and he's going to Columbia. And you can tell that Lisa's like, what is going on?
Well, guess what? If I had read the word Columbia, Dad would have walked over and said, good thing you're not going. But, would have never let me go.
But which would have been worse for you, Columbia or Bakersfield?
You know, it's hard to know. They may have a lot of similarities. certain parts.
No shade to anybody who lives in Bakersfield, if you're listening.
It's not about Bakersfield. Yeah, no. But like that, I feel like Lisa is probably overjoyed that he didn't get his visa. And that he's in California.
He's in Tustin. He's in like one of the safest places in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he.
Which.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Well, because Lisa says he'll probably be held up at gunpoint at some point, and she's probably not wrong.
And he probably will. He probably. I mean, he still could be held up at gunpoint in California, but.
Yeah, but Tustin's like right on the border of Irvine. Remember when you came to visit me in Irvine?
I do.
Yeah. It's real safe. Okay, and then here comes the most unhinged conversation of the night. It's Monica rolling in to meet her mom, Linda, at dinner. And when she walks in, no words even spoken. Linda is crying already. It's so manipulative.
It was so, no. I'm sorry, but it was iconic. It's so good. They both were iconic in the scene. I'll give Monica credit. She was making me laugh. The mom was making me laugh.
It's
look
just
at this gorgeous dessert.
And the mom eating her lobster enchiladas with her fork and her knife like she's the most proper human.
What an order. Lobster when you're in Utah.
I know. We are in a landlocked place, as our mom would say. A landlocked state. Our mother says that. Don't order disgusting. Fish in Utah. Unless,
No.
Monica. What?
When the mom's crying and Monica apologizes to the waiter, I'm so sorry, can I get a straw? And the mom's just sobbing. It's so good.
But she's probably so over it. She probably deals with this every single week.
Right. This woman is emotionally abusive.
Yeah. This is why I go back and forth on my feelings for Monica, because I think in general, she's probably a terrible human because we've heard about her lawsuits. We think we heard about all the things, but also like at this point, I'm like, who can blame her when this is your freaking mom?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have no dad.
Right.
Yeah. Monica says her mom picked everyone at Angie's dinner besides her. And, her mom reports back, I'm not asking you to feel bad for me. As she like swayed her head back and forth. Did you know that? She's like, I'm not asking you to feel bad for me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a 12-year-old. This is how my 11-year-old would try to talk to me. But this lady is 60, whatever, and she's doing this?
Yeah.
It's insane.
And in public.
Yeah.
This conversation should have happened in Monica's kitchen.
Yep. Her 2 feet by 2 feet kitchen.
Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It should have. And the waiter shows up for the food order. Awkward. Monica's like, I'm just going to have a guacamole appetizer because she knows she's not staying. She's not staying for this dinner. Absolutely not.
No.
Mom orders lobster enchiladas.
Mom, production tank. I'll have the lobster enchilada.
It's true.
And the churros, please. Thank you.
And I'll have 4 margaritas. Monica says her mom isn't going to scold her like a little child. And Linda says, "You're being disrespectful. Don't mock my feelings." And again, this is two children arguing.
Yes.
And Linda calls Monica a mother effer.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Could you? I feel like I say this every week on the podcast. My mother would never, ever call me a mother
effer.
No,
we're not even allowed. You even saying shiz is probably upsetting to her.
On this podcast,
she does not like, no substitute swear. That's what she used to say when we would say frick or whatever we would say. She does not like it at all.
No, well, she also didn't like when we said sucks. And now that I have an 11-year-old who says that sucks, I understand her rage because I also hate it when she says that. That sucks. Sucks for you. I'm like, oh my gosh. But mom calling me a mother effer, like I can't stop laughing thinking about it because she would never.
She must have hit her head and she's like quite concussed if she was saying that.
Yeah. A bipolar lady.
Yeah.
Oh, their food comes and Monica says Easter at Angie's was reliving abandonment as a child. And her mom cannot handle that Monica even brought that up. And she's like, well, I had to start my new job. And I'm like, what? You had to start a new job and just not bring your kid? Who?
Well, where were they living before? Because
I don't know.
To go to New York from, they weren't in Utah, I'm sure.
No, I don't think so. I think Utah was after.
Yeah, I don't know where they came from. But, she dropped her off with those strangers.
Mm-hmm. And her mom was like, I didn't know how hard New York was going to be. I'm like, lady, please, everybody knows how hard New York's going to be. You know that, and you still moved there. Like, it's not, you're not moving to like an easy breezy place. You're moving to like a hustle and go city.
Yeah. Well, and I like literally would never want to have a child here.
No, it'd be really hard.
There's no room.
Yeah. And it's expensive. It's expensive. Yeah. And Monica said that her mother's mother hated her. So Monica's grandma, I'm assuming we mean the Portuguese grandma, right? Nana?
Yeah. Olivia.
Oh, was that her name?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have something in common. She said her mother's mother hated her and disliked her and abandoned her. And so we can clearly see this line of like resentment and dysfunction just funneling down between these three women. Which is yikes. And then this is when we get to the juiciest part of the whole thing, right at the very end. Linda says, Monica Darnell. And Monica says, why do you keep calling me that? What's Monica's last name again? Garcia, right?
No idea.
No?
I had to Google her age today. I feel like no connection to her, so I don't know things about her.
I'm looking on my Instagram.
Monica.
Yeah, it's Garcia. Yeah. And she says, Monica Darnell, and Monica says, why do you keep calling me that? And her mom says, you change your name every week. And I'm like, here we go. Here we go. Because we have heard that she used a different name of Beauty Lab and Laser when Shiz went down. And this is probably what's coming out in Bermuda, or if it doesn't, it comes out at the reunion. But using, like, why are we, who says you change your name every week? Like, who does that? Not normal people.
Right.
And so,
well, was she alluding to her like getting married and remarried?
Maybe. Like, is Darnell her maiden name?
I don't know. I thought it was maybe a middle name. I didn't know. I thought you were going to say the juiciest thing was when she said that she was in the back of a car when her mom was making out with a man. And her mom doesn't deny it, but says, that was one time.
Gross. I think I blocked that in my memory.
Oh, it killed me. Doesn't deny it, just says that happened one time.
Yeah, the mom's a mess. She just keeps deflecting to needing aspirin when she doesn't want to answer certain questions. And the mom says they need therapy. And it's like, yes, Linda, we know this.
Yeah.
Very much so, you need therapy. And Monica says she's got to get home to her kids, and she leaves. And Linda's left there with her lobster enchiladas. And that.
You know she got dessert.
And she got dessert. And that's how the episode ends. And next time, we've got Bobby's luau party at Classic Skate Center, Whitney and Lisa talking about Monica, and then we get the sound bath, which was, wow. Wow.
Oh, wow. That was hard. It's a hard one.
Go ahead.
You said you were going to talk Beverly Hills?
Oh, yes. Beverly Hills for a second. So I'm only two episodes in because I'm trying to like keep up and I want to watch it when it's super fresh. The Kyle and Mauricio dynamic has never made me feel more uncomfortable. I'd rather watch Whitney and Justin talk about their marriage than Mauricio
and Kyle. Literally.
It's
so weird.
It's so bad. She hates him.
But I genuinely believe it's because she has not been sober for years. Mm-hmm. And Mauricio is always stoned or drunk. Mm-hmm. And it's annoying to be around people who are always stoned or drunk and you're not. Mm-hmm.
And the internet says he's been having affairs left and right.
I actually don't believe that.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't know where they are because did you see when she was on Watch What Happens Live and he was asking her about the Dancing with the Stars thing?
But Kyle loves drama.
Yeah.
I don't think he cheated on her.
Okay.
Or if he did, I don't think she knows.
Or yeah.
If she knew, I actually don't think she would accept or tolerate that.
I think she probably was in a hard spot because like her daughters work for him and he makes a ton of money and their family is very cushy and comfortable. And so was she letting stuff slide? Or was she just like drinking on the day she was unhappy, and now that she's not drinking, she's like, oh, actually, this sucks. He's gone all the time. And
yep.
He says things to her like, he kind of like talks down to her like, oh, don't get another tattoo. But the way he worded it was so weird. And she's like, I'll do whatever I want. And I'm like, ooh, this is a lot of resentment.
Yeah.
A lot of resentment.
Yeah. And, no, that was very awkward.
And then I'm watching like PK and Dorit because we've heard rumors that they're separating. And like, it feels awkward there too. And
yeah, but I don't know if you've seen their anniversary.
Yep, I saw it.
Thing yet. Oh, so awkward.
It was so weird.
She, I think she's finally like actually seen what he looks like. Like she's the fog is gone and she's like, huh.
Yeah. And she's gorgeous. She's Dorit and he's.
And I'm sorry if I was Rob, not once, but twice. And my husband did not have any empathy and did not care and found annoying that I was triggered or had PTSD. Yeah. That would not work for me.
That's why the internet thinks that PK was in on it. Like everybody on the internet, thinks that PK staged the robbery, helped stage the robbery so that they could get money to pay off some of his gambling debts. Cause he had like $3 million or something worth in gambling debts. So they say that he staged the robbery, but Dorit didn't know, which is why she was so much more effective.
No.
That's what, girl, get on Reddit. That is what they have said on Reddit.
That's a dark place. I don't go there.
Speaking of dark, her dark hair is beautiful.
No, she looks great. And that's why, like, she got two very cute kids, and now they need to all run away from him.
And then maybe she can use that matchmaker that Sutton's using that's never going to be able to find anybody for Sutton.
Never.
Never.
Sutton is never going to find her match.
No, and Garcelle said she doesn't ever want to get married. So I'm like, Sutton, just live your life, babe, with your $300,000 a month that you get from your ex-husband. Yeah. $300,000 a month after taxes.
Even imagine.
After taxes.
And does she have kids at home?
No. Her daughters,
does
her kids are.
To her kids?
No, they're gone. She doesn't get child support. That's just alimony.
Wow.
Which is why she'll also never get married because
right
then
man.
She'd lose that. Yeah, the second she gets married, that's gone. Gone. So.
Well, she can't get a second date, so I don't know if she's getting married anytime soon.
Oh, okay. We will definitely be recapping more Beverly Hills because it looks so good. And the whole first episode was so good with like the healer lady with the feathers and them doing like the chant around the pillows. And it was just, and Dorit's impression of Erica at BravoCon, it was all so good. So we'll definitely talk about it some more.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Liv, I love you. Thank you for coming on.
Love you too.
And
you're welcome.
I'm excited for you to come home at Christmas and then we can watch some more Housewives. Hopefully Bermuda will be happening around Christmas time and we can watch it together.
Mm.
Maybe
that would be perfect.
Live
great
stream
family bonding.
Live stream our reactions maybe to Bermuda. Maybe.
Yeah, the people will love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're begging for that content.
Okay, I love you. Thank you for coming on. And guys, thank you so much for reviewing, listening, telling your friends about it. If you want to follow on Instagram, The Salty Housewife is the Instagram podcast and Rosie in Real Life is my personal. The Salty Housewife is the Instagram for the podcast. And then my personal Instagram is Rosie in Real Life. And I appreciate all of you guys sharing with your friends. It means so much. And the messages I'm getting is so fun. So thank you. And I'll see you next week. Okay. Okay, bye.
Bye.